The UM Podcast is brought to you by Emma, email marketing that works for you.
In a world where QR codes kill kittens and customer service is an oxymoron, one podcast has set out to make things right. This is the UM Podcast with your hosts, Scott Stratton and Allison Kramer.
Booyakasha. I've always wanted to open a show with that. Right.
No, you haven't. Mm-hmm. You've never even wanted you just mm-hmm. that. You just
on my
wanted
list.
That.
Yearning.
When this comes out, we should be on a New Year's with all our kids cruise.
Potentially, yes. We're not exactly sure when it's coming out, but I think it's around that time. Going to the Caribbean on Disney Cruise, our fifth or sixth cruise.
Yep.
As people who never thought they'd be cruise people.
Apparently we are.
We like it. Bon voyage. And now we're just going to play the sounds of the seas for 25 minutes.
We won't.
Over the show, she's Allison. I'm Scott. That's Wayno over there. He's got a new nickname, though. Clickbait. He's there. Good to see you all. Why is he named Clickbait? Why is our dog named Emma?
Our dog is not named Emma.
Our puppy is, who's underneath us, is Chelsea. But right now it's Emma because Emma is our sponsor. Brought to you by Emma and our fine team there who are awesome and ridiculous. Emma, just it's email done right. Done better. Done the way it was meant to be.
Yeah, our forefathers. You guys should go check it out.
Our foremothers and fathers. Is it foremothers? Can you say foremothers? Or just forefathers?
You can say foremothers.
Why is there only four? That's a lot. That's a big lineage.
It means like before. Oh. It's not a number.
Oh, it's spelled F-O-R-R-R-E.
Oh, it's too many letters.
On the show today, whatever we want.
All right.
It's our show. I'm going to start off with something really cool, and then I'm going to do a nice funny story. I saw this site. It's called twoblindbrothers.com.
Okay.
And I don't know how I found it. And it's run by two brothers, and they have this on the site. They said, it says, feel the difference. Trust us. We're blind. It's the softest shirt you'll ever feel. There are a lot of types of blindness. We have Stargardt's, a type of macular degeneration that means we lose vision in the center of our retina. Okay, so the site. So what happens is you buy blindly on the site. There's like four price points, and you purchase it, and then you're sent a code. And the code gives you a choice of certain number of shirts that you can pick from. So you've already bought, and then you go pick your stuff. Afterwards.
Wow.
And you can add on to it.
Is
and
that
things.
Working for them?
Yeah, it's doing great. I bought some of it.
You did?
Yeah.
You bought a shirt.
Yeah.
Sight unseen.
Yeah. Hence the whole concept of the site. But here's the coolest thing. There is a little yellow box on the site. You click it and it turns the site into as if you had Stargardt's.
Oh,
it shows the site, which the entire, all middle of the site is blank.
Fuzzy. That's fascinating.
You can't see it.
And that's how they see things?
And that's what it's like to have that. I thought it was fascinating. And the entire site is now done with almost the entire site blanked. And you can only see the corners of it. And you scroll. And as you scroll, it looks like that the entire time until you click it back to show you what it's like. I thought the story was brilliant. I thought the two brothers are brilliant. The entire thing is set up. So if you go to twoblindbrothers.com, it's fascinating. If you go to the and click on products and you go even it'll go bring you through it and you click on the little yellow box and the yellow box is simply an eye open. You click it and the eye closes and it brings the whole site up. I just thought it was a fascinating
really cool
way to do it. And a cool way to support. I thought it was a great way. Great business. Now for the thing I thought was hilarious from vulture.com. Ready? 50 Cent bought all the best seats to Ja Rule's upcoming concert just to leave them empty.
When you have too much money and you get
forget diss tracks. I'm sorry, Machine Gun Kelly. This ain't gonna work anymore. Just buy out the front section of the concert so you can't. There's nobody he's playing to.
How do you feel when you walk out to your concert and it's empty?
Imagine just 50 sitting in the middle of all the empty seats, which is what the picture is of. So. Someone's putting their vitamin water money to good use because he had a big stake of vitamin water when they sold. In the latest, dare we say, incredible power move in the decades-long feud, 50 Cent has decided to purchase the first few rows at an upcoming Ja Rule concert for the sole purpose of leaving them empty and crushing his foe's morale. quote, people think I'm mean, so go see this. $15. Wait, what do I do now? The rapper wrote on Instagram alongside a Groupon screenshot for Ja Rule's early November gig. Because it's on Groupon. I just bought 200 seats in the front so they can be empty. Vulture can confirm we've taken out our calculators and did some math, which means 50 Cent dropped but $3,000 to win this round of totally Queens rapper beef. In this economy, not too shabby.
No, that's totally worth it. That's hysterical.
Let's just come out and say I think 50 won that beef a long time ago. Wow. You know what? The only other way you can get back to him, either throw his own fire festival or date Ashanti. I think that's the only ways you can really get back at Ja Rule at this point, really.
So this article is from the Wall Street Journal.
Oh.
It looks like you went on a bit of a Wall Street Journal run. So this is from the Wall Street Journal. It says, new parents complain Amazon baby registry ads are deceptive. So it says, Kima Neves recently received two Aveeno bath time sets and a box of Huggies diapers through her baby registry on Amazon. The only problem, the new mother didn't ask for the products or even want them. Instead, Johnson & Johnson and Kimberly Clark each paid Amazon hefty sums to place these sponsored products into Ms. Neves and other consumers' baby registries.
Brutal.
The ads look identical to the rest of the listed products in the registry except for a small gray sponsor tag. Unsuspected family and friends clicked on the ads and purchased the items, assuming that Ms. Neves had chosen them. And we actually have a picture here of a page from the gift registry that has like products that the parents actually picked beside the sponsored one. And it took me like a couple minutes to see the sponsored thing. Like you had to point it out to
and
me.
And it says on it, like most registries, 0-for-1 purchase. Like, so they're still waiting for one to be purchased.
Yeah.
So it looks identical. It's 100% unethical. 100%.
Yeah, definitely.
You think it's on the register, they want it, and they never actually ask for it. It comes into bigger issues, too, here, right? What happens if you're against certain types of products? Like, against them. Like, you're fundamentally against whatever that is, especially on a baby registry.
Yeah.
You know, you could be fundamentally against baby Einstein stuff, or you know, certain things to do with like, everything.
Yeah,
it
feeding
could be
and
formula,
stuff.
Formula, breastfeeding things.
Yeah.
Certain soaps with chemicals in them. There's
but I was
so many.
Thinking, like, I use the gift registry for getting presents sometimes for holidays. And I was just thinking, I wouldn't have noticed. Like,
no.
I actually thought in my head, I wonder if I clicked on one of these, like, not knowing that I had clicked on one of them. So, yeah, it's definitely deceptive.
Very much so. It's quite ridiculous. So, some good news. I have a couple of good newses here, actually.
Really?
I'm going to do some rapid-fire good news. Like, the time...
Okay.
Like, it's finally... It's finally coming up, Stratton. Okay, it's finally coming up, Stratton.
At long
here.
Last.
I got a double barrel one for you. One, first is a post from I saw on LinkedIn from John Espirin. Says, LinkedIn have changed the default settings so that people can no longer grab your email address when they do a data download. So you can use it. And the slider bar now defaults to no, so people can't grab it. So one of the problems in LinkedIn, one of my fundamental issues with LinkedIn forever has been if I agree to be your contact, you get access to all my information, and then you can download that information, including my email address, and people just add you to their newsletter. I didn't opt in, but he said, well, now we're connected. That implies you want to get my newsletter, which it does not. And we've ranted on this show and in books and in talks about
this for
years.
Not just newsletters, a lot of things, right?
Everything. Like, you're just gonna get spammed. We called that warm spam at the time, where your contact spams you. LinkedIn has turned that off. John, thank you for that heads up. I appreciate that. And next, from The Verge, Instagram will remove fake likes and follows. Instagram wants to fight fake likes, follows, and comments by more actively removing them. Any fake likes and follows from accounts that use third-party services to get more engagement are going to be removed for violating the platform's community guidelines and terms of use, the company announced. So here's what I found was cool about this. I love this idea, obviously, and fake, the term, made up word, by the way. Fake fluencers.
Fake fluencers.
Which is going to cover our made-up word for this week, is people who buy their followings. And there's all these different ways of doing it. But you know how they're figuring out who's using these platforms?
Who
you've given permission to access your account.
Oh, of course.
So Instagram will notify you saying, it's a big thing that pops up at the top of Instagram. It says, it looks like you may have shared your username and password with an app offering followers or likes. We're removing activity like new followers from these apps to protect our community from inauthentic activity. Change your password and stop them from accessing your account.
Nice.
This pops it up and like, now you're going to lose.
What are you going to do today? You have two good stories. You're
I'm
just
so
going to be happy the rest
so
of the day.
I'm so happy about these things, both about ethics
too. Are you going to feel empty inside though? Because you don't have any.
No, no, no. It's a new Scott. I'm happy when good things happen, right? Okay. I'm really happy when good things happen. This is great.
Yeah, it's really good.
Because it's rooting the jerks, which makes me happy. So it's still angry, but happy angry. Hangry.
I think that's hungry and angry.
I'm taking it back. Happy angry. Hangry.
Okay.
Don't try to take it back either, Snickers. You're not.
He does get a little hangry. Okay.
I haven't eaten today. I'm very hangry right now.
Gosh.
In the context of hungry.
It's like
2
in the afternoon. What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Okay. So this story. So Scott's going to give us a little bit of feedback on what some of the comments were, because apparently the gold in this article were in the comments and I don't have them here. So he's going to provide that bit. It says, what to wear to work when you work at home. It's from the Wall Street Journal again. So I work from home. I write. Mm-hmm. Scott travels or is home. So we don't have an office. So if Scott's home, he's home. I work from home every day. And it says, so this is an article like genuinely telling people what they should wear when they work from home. It says, I was standing in my closet struggling to choose an outfit that would allow me to magically transition from freelance writing at home to a work lunch and still be suitable for my afternoon shift as an unpaid chauffeur for my kids. The effort almost made me nostalgic for the years spent chained at a desk as a magazine editor. Sure, my colleagues could be brutally condescending, the pay wasn't great, and the pressure to dress on trend was relentless, but at least I knew what to expect. Aching feet from stomping around Manhattan in heels, mountains of shopping debt, and clear-cut boundaries between work and play with wardrobes for both. Yeah, I'm not sure if that's better, but okay. It's been 17 years since I've regularly reported to an office, and since then, many of the rules about how we work and how we dress have changed. Last year, a report from a research group, Global Workplace Analysis and Flex Jobs, noted that the number of people who describe themselves as telecommuters had increased 115% since 2005, which translates into roughly 3.7 million of us who work outside of a traditional office more than half of the time. All right, so she has some suggestions here. So the first situation were for networking at a coffee shop. And there's a pair of, as my mom would say, slacks, a pair of loafers, a very pretty purse, and a like cable knit kind of sweater. These items, I should tell you, are extremely expensive. Well, not extremely expensive, but they're expensive. Like the $125, $325. The bag, which, by the way, is the only item that I said was pretty, is $645. So that gives a problem. Actually, no, it's $3,000. Sorry, I read the wrong number. $3,100 for the purse. Okay, so just in case you thought
it's a good purse.
Allison won't be able to tell. Like a couple episodes ago, we talked about Payless's Palessi store.
Yeah, Palessi.
I picked the $3,000 purse. Okay, so that's... that's what you can do. And then other suggestions are a wardrobe for a stressful Skype session. And I would like to point out that this image is only of a shirt and earrings. Okay. So along with Scott not wearing pants to do Skype sessions, this magazine newspaper article is also suggesting we do it. And again, the earrings are $4,160.
Woo!
Obviously, the work at home gig is good. That freelance writing must be paying more than I thought it did. And then one for a last-minute client meeting. Why, if you work at home, would your client meeting be last minute? Like, yeah, why would that happen? You'd have it scheduled. And there's, like, a dress and a jumper and a pair of shoes or whatever. So the thing that bothers me about this... No, I don't think... Okay, here's the thing. I understand. When you work from home, you can spend all day basically in your pajamas. That happens.
Yes.
And... you know, in our culture, or at least where we live, you can go to the grocery store in sweatpants, you can go in yoga clothes, you can go. So you don't really have to do a lot of dressing up if you work from home. And when we travel, I do wear totally different clothes. Like I almost have a completely separate wardrobe for when we're away than when we're home. I really wear those clothes at home.
Yep.
And I don't think that there's anything wrong with that. Like to me, you should be comfortable. You don't have to go anywhere. Like if you, but I do, I have talked to some people who are entrepreneurs and work from home and do have this more to get themselves in the headspace of like, I'm doing work now. So not everybody needs this. Some people, they can just in their head, 1 minute they can be doing something for the house and then in their head they can switch and be doing something for work. And I'm able to do that without changing my clothes. But I do understand that just like having an office in your house and keeping your computer in there and that's where you go to work, you close the door, you focus.
Yeah.
I can see how clothing could be part of that, that it would make you feel more professional if that's your thing. It's not mine, but it might be other people's.
But we record the show at home, right?
But we don't need that necessarily. Yeah. Like you're happy to, you don't get super dressed up when you're on stage
anything,
either.
No.
But like you're.
But on stage, I put on pants.
Yeah. It's really funny. It's just a shirt and earrings for the Skype interview.
So, my favorite part of this is, as you had mentioned at the start, was the responses to it.
Yeah.
So it's like James Ryan Moreau says, "Hard hitting stuff right here. I feel I'm more informed about how the world works. Thank you." And then it goes. One person, Liz, says, "Make sure you to carry a designer purse around when you're going to your kitchen to make lunch." And then there's some great ones. So what started happening was people started posting pictures of them in sweatpants at home.
Yeah.
One guy made an animated GIF of it, of going from the article over to his pants on the other side. And then so this Buckley Mulligan says, "Agree, sweatpants are way too formal. I'm working from home right now and wearing nothing except for a blanket and 2 day stink." And then it gets the replies are better. One person goes, 2 day? Look at fancy pants over here. Next person says, only 2 days? Whoa, must be rolling in executive compensation. Buckley replies again, just wait until tomorrow when I'm basting myself in a river of self-loathing and turkey sweat. That's when overtime kicks in. Another one here just puts a picture of a killer whale coming out of the ocean, says, "I came out of the ocean because you need to stop." This is one of my favorite memes ever now. And then Robert Little says, "I literally have wet sweatpant rotation. The Wednesday Walmart gray is about to go on now." Walmart replies, "You are truly living your best life."
Oh, that's amazing.
And Robert says, "Damn right.
I love that Walmart
Thursday replied. Is Walmart Black Sweats Day."
I wear sweatpants most of the time. But like, I'm not really a wear jeans in the house person. That's not like I'm... And jeans, like, if I put on jeans, if we're going somewhere.
Yeah, would still be in my robe or house coat right now if it wasn't for Wayne. I spare him that.
But I do know there are some people that it helps them get in the mode. I do understand it for some people.
But that's also a mindset. This is like we talked about last episode on what successful versus unsuccessful people do. I've seen the article. Successful people make their bed in the morning. They wake up at 5 a.m. They dress for work even at home. And I'm like, no, it depends on the person.
I do two or three of those things.
Yeah. But two or three of those things I don't do.
That's true.
All three. Mind you, I don't work. So that is also part of that as well. That's how this works. So at the end of the day, the moral of the story is...
just do what makes you feel happy.
Mm-hmm.
If it works for you, go for it.
Coming from two happy people.
Start working out in like a tiara and a ball gown if you want to. That's what one of the best things about working from home is you can wear whatever you want. You're not making more money and you're not working less. So you might as well wear your sweatpants. Just
do you. Do your fine self.
Yeah.
And that's it. And then don't read that article. Happy New Year.
Yeah, if it's a new year.
Merry Christmas.
Then Happy New Year to you.
All those things. Don't set goals or set them. I don't care.
Yeah, we did. Last year we talked about our thing. Maybe we should do next time we record.
Yeah.
We should talk about if we made any New Year's resolutions.
Let's look back at last year's. Nope.
Yeah, I don't know. Remember what it was.
Yeah, whatever. Bye.
Probably wearing sweatpants.
Probably outside. Wearing sweatpants because I'm not wearing pants at all or undies right now.
Thanks, bye-bye. Guys. Happy New Year.
Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and visit theunpodcast.com. And remember, friends don't let friends use QR codes.